Our gospel this morning is from John 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God,
whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word and your will for us this day. Amen. There was once a man who looked upon Christmas as a lot of humbug. He wasn't quite a Scrooge. He was a kind and decent man, generous to his family, upright in all his dealings with people. But he didn't believe all that stuff about incarnation that churches proclaimed at Christmas. And he was too honest to pretend that he did. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, who was a faithful churchgoer and believer in Jesus. But I simply cannot understand this claim that God becomes man. It doesn't make any sense to me. On Christmas Eve, his wife and his children went to church, and he declined to accompany them, as he has for the years before. "I feel like a hypocrite," he said, "but I'd rather stay home and I'll wait up for you." Shortly after his family drove away in the car, snow began to fall, and he went to the window to watch the beautiful flurries getting heavier and heavier, shining as he could see them through the streetlight. "Well, if we must have Christmas," he thought, "it's nice to have a white one." He went back to his chair by the fireside and was reading. And a few minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. And it was quickly followed by another and another and another. And he thought some neighbor's child might be throwing snowballs at his living room window. When he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the storm. They'd been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter had tried to fly through his window. "I can't let these poor creatures lie there and freeze," he thought, "but how can I help them?" And he remembered then that the children's pony was in a stable, in a barn. It would provide a warm shelter, he thought. So he put on his coat and his galoshes and tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the door wide and turned on a bright light of warmth, but the birds didn't come in. Food. Food will lure them in, he thought. So he hurried back to the house, got the bag of bread and sprinkled crumbs on the snow to make a trail to lead them to the barn. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. And he tried shooing them into the barn by walking around and waving his arms. They scattered in every direction at that, and the warm, lighted barn. "They find me a strange and terrifying creature," he said to himself. "And I can't seem to think of any way to let them know they can trust me. If only I could be a bird myself for a few minutes, perhaps I could lead them into the light, into the warmth, and into the safety of the barn." Just at that moment, the church bells began to ring. He stood silent for a moment, listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And it was then that he sank to his knees right there in the snow. He put his hands together and he looked up to heaven and said, Now I understand, Lord. Now I see why you had to do it. We are stubborn people. God has reached out to us. He has throughout history turned on the light and given us breadcrumbs of truth and covenant and communion. He has communicated with us in so many ways, yet we live under the weight of sin. And so often we don't get it. We don't think about it. We don't often listen to the sounds of God's voice in those around us. We also may have a hard time following Jesus' commands. We forget what God tells us our life is to be like. God communicated with Moses on Mount Sinai, joining himself to us in a covenant of promise, but we still sin. So God raised up prophets. Through one of the prophets, Hosea, God said that Israel had been like an unfaithful wife committing adultery by going after false gods. And all through the centuries of the Old Testament, king after king, sinning and sinning, God has opened his arms with unconditional love. But we, his people, continued to stray and forget, to not understand how to go to the light and the warmth of the metaphorical barn of safety. And so, for this new covenant, God became flesh and bone like us. God, Jesus Christ, God and man. And then he shed his blood in the person of Jesus. But really, I think Jesus' birth is the climax of God reaching out to us, showing us how to live. And as we hear in our gospel today in John, the Word became flesh and lived among us, dwelt among us. And this word, lived, dwelt, in the Greek, it means tabernacled among us. God set up his tent so that we would be there with him. My favorite translation of this is in Eugene Peterson's The Message. And he says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now I see why you had to do it." And indeed, God did it. God became one of us. God moved in next door to help us understand because there was no other way that we would get it. The letter of the Hebrews puts it this way: at various moments in the past, and by many means, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, but in our time, the final days, He has spoken to us in the person of His Son. And from the book of Revelation, we read, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." God in Christ comes to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, leading us toward that warm, safe place. And so the incarnation that our grumpy man couldn't understand, that incarnation means that we can see and hear and know God in ways never before possible. In the incarnation, we are given intimate, palpable, tangible access to the reality of our God. But more than that, the incarnation was not simply God's work of genius whereby we could see the power of God. God became man in order that we might be saved, that we might be born again of God, because God was first born of men. John's Christmas story. We heard it Friday night. We hear it again this Sunday, this Lord's Day. It doesn't contain the conventional elements that the other Gospels have. Yet instead of manger, angels, and magi, John 1 offers us a vision of what the incarnation means for the life of this world. The light will never go out. Nothing can extinguish it. He is the one. He took on flesh, incarnated himself to save the world from sin. And he continues day after day, moment after moment, to lead us toward the light that we might serve Him. Amen.